Loading.
Good day to everybody. Thank you. I thought most Lutherans, at least if you're mostly Lutherans, were trained in church to say good day or good morning or good evening back. Maybe whatever you say will be fine, but maybe we can begin first with a few words of explanation of what we're about to do. And those who wish, I wish all of you would come down and join us. And those who wish to participate may. We first are not playing a sort of glorified show and tell. I'm not a curious white man who discuss Indian secrets with you. I'm a person who's been adopted into a native tribe. In the sacred ceremony, I was given my native name, which I would to introduce myself would be Shina Tatanka, which means robe of the buffalo, or as it now in most English-speaking people say, buffalo robe is a name given in sacred ceremony by the Wampanoag people. Those are the people who met the pilgrims in that fateful day so long ago in the 1600s. I have here some things to not just speak from my mouth, but to show you with my hands, excuse me, and some things that you will smell or look at or hold, because I don't believe in just simply words, words, words. The Native people believe in life and vitality and action. And so we will do things today. What we'll do in just a moment now is to go downstairs, and all those who wish, I wish all of you would join us, but my assistant down there, Pastor Smith, Dick Smith, has prepared a fire for us very graciously, has some coals waiting for us, and I will need you to bring this leather satchel down with you. And I have some sage with me. Sage is a sacred herb. This is also something probably grandma put in your spaghetti when you're young. But it is something very earthy but very special. When we burn the sage, we burn over coals, generally not over a flame. And the smoke is seen as a prayer to the one above. And those who wish to, if you saw Dances with Wolves, I believe it was probably Sweetgrass, but it's the same somewhat principle. They were preparing for the battle with the Pawnee. And Dances with Wolves was off to find his rifles. And the mother was in the lodge with her children, and she held up a thing that smoked. And if you notice, the boys went like this. The boys, I think the men and women as well. This is what I invite you to do today, is to experience that if you wish. If not, you can keep your hands down to your side as I pass by you. And it is a prayer in a sense of smoke, purify me, my thoughts, my words, my heart, my action, for what we are about to do here today. If we can now, if you would join me downstairs, you'll gather around the platform out there and do the ceremony to first start this session. And we'll be back in just a few moments. The village, this summer of 1993, and our session today, of course, is about Native American rituals and ceremonies. You're also a timekeeper. We will keep to the promise of keeping this for an hour session. Of course, it's almost a joke, but some people say there's such a thing as Indian time, which in a way there is, because what that means is you begin when it's time to begin, and you only end it when everything is done. But around here we have so many things to do, see, at least so many chances to do things. We will end at 4:45. So if you can, it is now what time? Okay. At 4:20, around there, if you could give me a little nudge or something, my helper. And our first, are there any of the people here who know or suspect perhaps they have heritage of Native American in themselves, or grandmothers, or grandfathers?
Cherokee Indian.
Cherokee Indian.
And my friend, I was awesome.
Yes, and Mark, especially, one of the good people at the camp. Yes?
Choctaw.
Choctaw. Good people. Others? Some of you may indeed, but you don't know it yet. Well, we wish to honor all those, especially all the colors.
And in spirit.
Yes. Every human being is to be honored. But we especially wish to honor those who bloodline is itself honored by the grandmothers and grandfathers who lived so long and fought so hard to bring truth to the people. So what I want to share today will have to be very quick. It's been 14 years that to first introduce myself, that I was a minister on the Fort Totten Sioux Reservation. It's among the Lakota people, which most now call Sioux, but they call themselves, I'm sorry, the Dakota people, the people of the northern part. The Lakota are those made most famous by their chiefs and their holy men and by dances of wolves. And they have some who say they are Nakota, one of the three dialects. But all the people of the red skin, as we say, which is a phrase which is not offensive to some, but perhaps I say the red nation, find honor in each other. I will have to go through them 14 years that I've learned very quickly with you to explain first, this time, I'm the only one who speaks. No one else speaks, no one else raises their hand, no one else asks a question, no one else interrupts me. This is not because I'm arrogant or boastful or proud or got a big mouth. This is because it is proper respect to that one who is speaking, whoever the person is. Then towards the end of the session, you will turn the opportunity for all of you to speak with this. And this is what we call a talking stick. And this stick is to be held by all if they wish. Some will say just thank you and give it to another. Some may speak what is in their heart. We do ask so that when you speak, you, if possible, speak as quickly as you can to give honor to others who would maybe miss it if we had to dismiss, indeed, as we will, at 4:45. So consider others. So when you speak, no one else will talk either. You are the only one who will be heard, and hopefully all of us will listen. Fuel, my assistant, what is your name?
Penny.
Penny will immortalize you on tape, my assistant. If you would pass this around, I say one time now, and in fact, one woman at the table last night said, you don't need to be so apologetic or perhaps even explain things so hard. I think what you're saying is because most of us here are good people. We came here to learn, to trust you and to hopefully learn of ourselves. So I will maybe explain things that are difficult to understand, but at least if I do, it'll just be once. When I say this, I speak of the people I've lived among as my teachers are those I call the traditional. There are many ways to be an Indian today. Just as you say, what does a European look like? You're stupid if you give an answer because there's no such thing. You might say, what is a Frenchman or an Italian woman? What do they speak? That's true. But what's the European language? It doesn't exist. Same way you're saying, what is the Indian? It doesn't exist. There are many native people, many ways, many paths on the red road. But those I follow are those who say they are traditional, those who follow the old teachings, the old ways. And this is the way it was done. 200, 300, 400 years ago, and it's still being done today. If you would pass this around, you can sniff it, feel it, taste it. I don't know if you want to taste it. It is simply sage. The Indian people, as far as I know, except those in peyote, don't use any funny stuff. A minister once went to her church to attend and to arrange for some speaking engagements. She looked at my bag and she said, boy, I wonder what you got there. Almost like any kind of strange, secret, very bizarre Indian thing. All I had was that, which is sage, and if this could be passed around to those who are listening on our tape, sage, if you could unwrap that, sir, she might have difficulty. It is a long, leafy, small, leafy kind of green thing. This is sweet grass. This is braided together like a ponytail. This is also burned at times, and this is very often used in sweats. Sun dances, vision quests, any time in which we wish to bring in good thoughts. Other things I will pass as we speak. To begin with first, to begin with the thing that to me is the most holy, the thing that to me is a single event next to the day I invited Jesus into my heart, was the single most pivotal event of my life, of course beyond also the day I was born. And that's the Sundance. I've been to two Sundances. The proper term in the Lakota would be Wiwang Yang Wang Chipi, which is looking at the sun they dance. To say first, it is not a dance of torture though it is difficult and it is painful. It is not a dance of manhood, so to speak, as if that's all the reason the men and now the women come. It is not a dance of arrogance or pride to show what you can do above the others. It is like on a vision quest, you seek a vision, a spirit, a guide to help you throughout your whole life. And the sun dance, as the elders teach, is like everyone is seeking guidance. All the people want to come together to be strong. All the people come together to help each other to be strong, to somehow gain a vision, whether through the eyes of the heart or just a vision of knowledge and understanding. I have a recording with me, and to explain this and to say to all the other things, all that I say, show you, all that you sniff, you see, you experience, none of this has ever been done with me by any man or woman who said, "Now never tell anyone. This is secret." They all said, in fact, "Bring as many friends as you want." All that they asked in return, I've never been asked for a dollar from any holy man or woman. I've never been asked for any gift. All I have been asked, in a sense, though I knew their heart or tradition, perhaps for some tobacco to say, "I honor you with this before I ask you something." But all I've really been asked was for respect. That they ask that I come with them in a quiet heart, in a heart that's receptive to the truth. Not that I have to believe all they say, but at least I listen. I want to play this to you, and hopefully this will also communicate over our system. This is the opening movement of a sun dance. And this was not taped secretly as such, though in some sun dances they don't allow this. This one was done by a drum, which did it for a public hearing. So. Sometimes I walk, and I was simply explaining these things to you. The first to say that this is a rather bizarre event we're having here today, because the traditional elders, in a sense, would never have done this, never invited you here to this. Why? Because you have known from when you were little babies, or little children, young girls, young boys, you would have already known many of these things, because your mothers and your fathers and your grandmothers and grandfathers would have taught you this. But how many here were raised in the tribal manner? Neither was I. So we have to, in a sense, do the best we can. And it's better to have some knowledge than all ignorance, I feel. So, to explain this to you, as I walk in a clockwise manner. Some do the other way, it is whatever they prefer, whatever seems best to them is what's good in that moment. The sun dance is a thing very much misunderstood, but it is one of the central and most powerful spiritual events of the Northern Plains people, celebrated for centuries among many of the nations and many of the tribes. Those I went to were not among the Lakota, though those were among the people of the East, the Algonquin-speaking people, Algonquin dialect, which is now among the people of the Mi'kmaq, Nipmunk, Anaki, and the Wampanoag. They were the ones who attended this Sundance and invited other nations and tribes to come. We have dancers from 14 nations, I do believe, Indian nations, and from Canada, United States, and Central America. I don't know if we had one from South America. And the Sundance, how many of you have ever been to a Sundance? How many of you have heard of a Sundance? Thank you. I don't know what you think of a Sundance. I hope you didn't all watch A Man Called Horse. It was true to some way. One thing I found very upsetting was he, Washishu, the white man, instigated the Sundance when the others were not. I have never in my life heard of one man saying, "I begin now the Sundance." I heard of one man saying, "I had a vision that called me to the dance, who will join me, and then we will prepare." But he simply said, "I will do it." The Sundance is never meant to be one man or one woman's action. It is meant to be the people, or yakte, those who gather together. It may be begun by one man or one woman's vision or vow or promise, but they all join together because it is not for me, it is for us. In the Sundance, there is a central pole that is placed. The pole, both Sundances, the first Sundance, I was one who was asked to help to make the lodge. That was a very honoring experience. Also very frightening, because I want to do it right. To be quite honest, I found the attitudes of some to be a little bit, well, we can get this branch or we can get that branch, it won't really matter. But I felt when we were to make the lodge, I had asked them to find only the straightest branches, to find these by the point of the very fine compass, down to almost the inch, to know where the gate would open up, where the sun would rise, where the dancers could come out and greet the sun in respect and honor. I said, to the south, this is east, the way I set this up, this is east here, this is the center, this is south, this opening, to the south is the drum, I said make the arbor nice and strong, to the west was the rest place for the dancers, 24 I believe, 26, two left early, 24 I think stayed through, there was where they rested, the buffalo skull and the altar placed near that, and then to the north was simply the place of some of those who joined to watch and to pray for those inside the stand. The Sundance began with the music you heard, the dancers coming out with great solemnness. They do not jump or shout or scream, or never, ever have I seen any Indian ever do that. I've seen white people do that in front of an Indian in a powwow. They come out in great reverence. They enter the eastern gate. That year was the color of the black Sundance. The next year I attended was the color of the red Sundance. Honestly, I'm not sure of why the black was that year, but very often I think and this was meant to be a Sundance for all nations, and they followed the pattern of the four colors of the four human beings, the black, the red, the yellow, the white nation. And those are the traditional colors. When they dance not to stare at the sun and to become blind. Obviously, they're no fools, no idiots. They are real living human beings. They dance in honor, sometimes do, to stare at the sun, but not to see what pain they can endure, but to honor what they call the power of the sun. Sometimes they dance to look at the top of the tree. On the tree, there are ribbons hung of all many different colors. These were not to look pretty. These are sometimes often tied with bags of tobacco to be a prayer. And I heard some say, in a sense, I knew some who talked later, said, my grandmother is dying. I'm putting the tobacco so she'll maybe either have a gentle going away or she'll be healed. Well, my brother is in service and we are afraid for him. And I put this tobacco and my brother may not die. And these are some strong prayers. I pray just for all the people that they may live. The dance proceeds for 4 days in most cases. In this case, dancers danced every day. They had no water. On the first day, if I remember right, the way I was told, perhaps on the second day or third day, the chief of the dancers was allowed water because he was becoming very weak, and his responsibility was the greatest. On the fourth day, I believe, some are allowed to have water after a sweat. None of the dancers are allowed food. Those on the outside are not there as spectators. They are there to pray. They're asked to come, not to gallop into a gaze or not to just stare, but to be a part of the sacred moment, to pray with them and pray for them, and to support them by their presence. The purpose of the Sundance, I hardly can explain it in words. It would be improper to even try. But to say what I've been told, the Sundance is a place of great healing. The Sundance is a place of restoration of friendships, of marriages being healed. It's a place where new friendships are made, perhaps where new people find love. It is a place, though, of great holiness, of great sacredness, though there is laughter and jokes around the campfire and people love to watch and entertain each other. Very often, one of the first questions I hear is such things as, do they pierce? Now, who understands what I'm talking about? I say that. Thank you. I wish that would not be the first question, because that is not what the Sundance is about, though there is pain. When the Sundancers dance, some that have what they call a bloodless Sundance will not pierce. In this one, in both years, they pierced. The first year, both years, it was about the same ways. They pierced through the chest. The chief man takes a pinch about like this, and now because of health regulations, they no longer can do it the old way with an awl or like a bone or something. They use a razor blade, and I believe in a pin that was sterilized with alcohol and such, about that long, a little bit thinner than a pencil, pull the skin out, cut holes through that with a razor blade, and push the pin through so it sticks out both ends again. Put it here like this, stick it through so it comes out both ends. They're around both ends, there's a leather thong tied. I hope I'm not scaring the children, I'm not trying to do this, youngsters. Because, first of all, there's not much bleeding. People would assume there is. There's not. The thongs are tied to a yoke. The yoke is to a rope. The rope goes towards the top of the tree. The dancers would basically do this. And with the ropes hanging down, they walk up to the tree. And then they hug the tree. And they caress it. They bow their heads and they pray. And their prayer is not simply, make me strong, or help me not to cry, but help me to endure, help me to be strong, help my people to live, help this to be a good day for us all. Now, these are the prayers I'm assuming are said. We don't hear those said from the tree, because they said in great respect and quietness. They pull back, and then sometimes some will simply run back, some will lean back until it breaks, some will have two men helping them pull them back. It hurts, yes. And I have been to among some people who say, how in God's name can you, as a man who I now serve two Lutheran churches still as a supply preacher, and I offer communion, I baptize the babies, and I visit the sick in the homes, how could you be there? That is a place of satanic ritual and barbarism. I never have said I agree with everything about the Native way. I never met a Native man who said they agree with everything about the white way. But there is that part of me that understands that in their heart, the dancers are there to love and to care for their people and to be strong. And that I honor, and that I give affirmation to. To be honest, sometimes though, when they were pulling back, they'd be like, they want to watch. To continue with the sweat, and we will have a chance later after the session if you want to talk to me privately to do this. We are now, in a sense, in the position of a sweat lodge. Better name is a purification lodge. This is the eastern door. All of you, if asked to enter, would have been asked to enter through this gate, through this doorway, maybe the lodge about 6 feet high or so, 5 feet high, in the lower place where you actually, like, what would you have to do if you couldn't fit your head through the door? What are you going to do?
Duck.
Bow down. And when you bow, you are saying in your heart, sometimes with your mouth, I humble myself before you. And the name for that among the Lakota Dakota is Wonkan Tanka, the sacred mystery above. Is I humble myself before you and know that you are always first, the first to be, the last to ever be, and I am nothing as nothing before you. And the person would then walking through the lodge in a clockwise motion, the way I was taught, come around. The leader, let's say the chief first, until he takes his seat right here, next to the lodge, the opening. And all those others come around until they stop like this, and then the assistant is the last, sitting right there. The lodge is about that high, in the middle is a pit. And the pit is something that's going to be red hot. It's going to make steam when you pour water on it. You think you know what it is?
Hot coals.
Coals. But the coals are not burning red. The coals are around what they call a rock. Now you know what a rock is, don't you? The rocks are heated on the coals till they are literally seen to glow like cherries, like bright red cherries, and are brought into the inipi, as it's called, the sweat lodge, purification lodge. And now, if any of you are wondering what I'm doing, in the Native American mind, children are considered very innocent. I know, as they grow, sometimes we wonder. But would any of you like to hold this? Why don't we offer it to him, and then you can enter him too. Now, we are going to pretend there are rocks right here, red hot. So watch out. What do you do if it's red hot? First, this is red hot right here. What are you going to do with your foot? No. Move it away. Out of there. My goodness. We're going to put a rock in the center. Put one down, dock off. And then we put a rock first. Be on the west. Right here,
to the north, to the east, to the south. Now, how do we put it into the fire? Into the pit, I mean? Someone rolls a rock to you. Now, are you going to take your hand and put it on a red hot rock?
No.
What are you going to use to push it into this hole? What do you think? There you go. Do it. And it rolls in towards the west side. Now, you want to do this one? Another rock is a one more. And you bring it in towards the north. Push it in right there. Now, you want to bring one. Let's see. There's one here. They roll in here. Now, you got to bring it to the east. It rolls in. Now, you want to bring one in to the south. Push it in there. Boom. Goes in. Thank you. Oh, you can hold it now. You're good helper. The door is closed and it is absolutely pitch black. They test it beforehand to make sure. Water is brought in. The pipe is brought in, if not already there. And the sage is rubbed on it. Sometimes they use, now if you pass this around, many of you of course already know this. This is what is put in the pipe. And so you understand, some Native people, of course, have their own tobacco they grow, and most of us, what we do is go to the store. I got this from Walmart, the cheapest place in town. And it's not meant to be sacrilegious, this is just very practical. Now, why don't you, if you like, because I don't know if all of you sniff real smoking tobacco, just sniff it or something. That is what would be placed in a pipe, and sometimes with a special mixture, the pipe passed around to smoke. The pipe, we are told, is one that is held, is a gift, we are told, from the sacred white buffalo woman. And as many of the other people believe, it's the women, not the men, who are the great teachers and the holders of the truth and of the village. The men often, of course, are those who, through knowing the truth, come to defend the village and to lead the village. But the women, without them, we'd be helpless. We don't want them to know that. Maybe you already know, most men are just children who never grew up. And the pipe, it is said, the story is a gift from the sacred white cat buffalo woman. And when she brought it, the words to the people were something of this sort. It says, with this pipe you will walk upon the earth. And he said, this pipe, it will be like a prayer for you. And with this pipe, she said, your steps should be sacred. And said, with this pipe, she said, every step you take on the earth should be like a prayer. Now, these are the words said to Indian people. And I wonder if you catch the sense of the holiness of these words and the eloquence and the demand for moral rightness and for kindness. Those who hold the pipe make a vow to never lie while they smoke it. The pipe is then raised generally. Some raise it with two hands, some the hand in the bowl and the hand up. Some do this in reverse order, but perhaps to grandfather and to grandmother. Some say to father, some say to mother, our earth. And then they would point it to the four directions, or as they say, the four corners of the universe, and inviting all living creatures and all beings and all powers to pray with them, to be part of that. And so when they pray, this is what we would call, though I don't want to use this word, but you may not understand it any other way, but a sacrament. It is a powerful, supernatural reality come in common everyday form. And just a stick and a piece of, let's say, a bowl of stone and smoke, which are very common, but really are not very common. And when the water is thrown on there, what comes out? On a red hot rock, you throw water, what's going to happen? What?
It's
going to
come up
steam. And it's going to be hot. But it's never meant to be torturous, though sometimes it is. But it's meant to sweat you. And in that, the people say, it is in a sense symbolizing that we who come into the darkness of our own minds, our own hearts, our own actions, we need to be better. We need to be good for each other. So in a sense, it is like a confessional. And they say to themselves and to Wangkang Tangka, purify us. And when the sweat is over, this is generally done four times, the pipe and the rocks flap open, air comes in, close it, three more times, two more times, one more time. The last time they say they walk out rejoicing, sometimes singing, sometimes laughing, because they say now we are like born brand new from the womb of our mother because we sit on our earth, the one who is our mother and our grandmother. And I've seen many people almost vow to change their lives from the very first sweat they've ever taken. That's something very sacred. Let me have it. Let me start.
Now, I'll have about two minutes to say this, and then we'll have the last 15 minutes for a group to speak. I've had to make some very difficult decisions in my life, but well, all of us have. But in a way, they're not that difficult because it's the only rational thing for me to do, I think, to be true to myself. One of the things I've considered long and hard is what to say and what not to say. Some people, when they speak of their gifts or their visions, will share it with no one. That is proper. That's their way. I know some things that I have seen in visions I will never say to anyone. I will take to the grave with me. But some things I believe I was shown so that the people may know and the people may be blessed. And this is one of them. This young girl, if you would like to come up, if you want to, you don't have to. Can you pull, it's like a little ribbon, pull those two strings apart. See what I mean? Just so it opens up. My little niece made this basket out of tiny little pine needles. Thank you. Do you want to hold this for me? Just that's the lid. And I'll hold the bottom for me. That's the base. You can sit down. I've never in my life, well, except for one Wampanoag woman, ever shown what I have here. No, in a sense, I don't mean to over-dramatize, but it's serious. No human eyes except mine and hers on earth have ever seen this. And as I speak around the country, I'll perhaps do this again, but I've never done this before. When I was finished building the lodge, it would be the prayer lodge, let's say, for the Wampanoag people, for their nation, those who met the pilgrims. I was to take the last tree down. It was a dead one that was killed in a fire, to finish building this prayer structure, which was about three or four times as wide as what we are here, which they do use now for their sacred ceremonies and their times of prayer, and sometimes privately to go. And I say this knowing that it sounds strange to say, but it's true what I say. As I was about to take the last tree, literally I could push it down because it was in a forest fire and roots had burned, and I could just push it and it would fall over. About 8 feet tall, a voice came to me and said, "We want to say thank you for all the work you've done to build this lodge for the people." Nice, well, nice. And it's the way I talk. And the voice said then, when I say voice, I don't mean like a spooky voice like out of the woods. I mean the voice in my heart. A voice that, like the voice I would say like Moses heard or David heard, or the voice that the apostles knew as Christians growing up. This voice in my heart I heard, and it said, "Push down the tree and you'll find in the center under the tree a rock. And the stone. The stone is a gift to you." And I said, "Prove it. What's it going to look like?" Okay? And the voice said, "It'll be flat on the bottom, it's a little bit of a river. It's going to be facing forward, sort of like flat on one side, because you see a little bit of a line over it, roundish on the other, like a hump. You'll have a sort of like a head here, and then a larger hump going back, and a little line almost looks like a tail." I said, "Well, that's okay, that's enough detail." And I literally took the tree, I pushed it over, and it was like it was sitting there waiting to be picked up, and hardly any dirt, nothing over it. It was bizarre. And it was just one stone right in the middle, and this was a stone. I don't know how well you can see this, but it has a flat bottom, like this. It has a little hump for the head, a hump for the tail, and if you could see, there's like a little sharp line down one side, so like the other side is rounded. Now, those who are listening to the tape, this is about an inch wide by about a quarter inch thick or so, dark gray, and it resembles, of course, I hope the way I see it, is one of the sacred animals of my life, but with a head and the tail going down the side. These are things others may say, "Jesus, what a jerk he's trying to make out of us, he's lying through his teeth." Others may say, "These are everyday things among some people, the stories I've heard. Among the holy people, this is precious." But this is nothing to be considered very bizarre, let's say. Because among those who say the other world is more real even than this world, this is just the way life is. Okay, can you give me back that? Yes, I want to pass around now the talking stick. hoping, wishing that we had much more time, but we don't. And I ask that as we pass this around, can you tie that back together? That you say whatever you do wish to say quickly if we can, because we need to vacate the room. And those who do not wish to say anything could just maybe say thank you or just pass it on to another. This is a stick that came from that first Sundance. It was the first we know of, that recorded of, ever held in New England. It was held in the Massachusetts, where I live. And so for, as far as I know, eternity, let's say, the Sundance had not come to those Eastern people. We know people of New York and Nova Scotia and such have done Sundances. This is the first time we know of, at least recorded, they did it among the people of the East of New England, particularly among the Wampanoag and the Mi'kmaq and Nipmunk, I mean, who lived in that part of Massachusetts. This is one of the branches that came off like the side of a tree. And the colors, black was the color of that year of the Sundance, and these are my personal colors on this stick. So when you hold this, you make a vow, and I hope all of you who hold it agree to this, that you will not lie, you will not brag, and neither will you put yourself down. You just say what is true. And if you wish to say anything, you may. If you wish to say nothing, say nothing. But this, as we call counsel, this is how everyone has a chance to talk without everyone trying to wave their hand or shout the loudest. So we'll pass this and we'll go clockwise.
I realize there's much to learn, and I thank you for sharing about the Native Americans and beginning for me a journey of learning more about these ways.
With all the readings I have done of the scriptures and of Native American spirituality, I have never found one inconsistency between the gospel and Native American spirituality.
Thank you for sharing with us. I hope you'll be giving more presentations so we can have some more. I'm curious about the different types of ceremonies among the different tribes across the United States, and if there isn't a great deal of difference.
I thank Takashawa and Great Spirit and my tribe, Skokomish tribe, my father, my mother, my grandmother, and my great grandmother for allowing me to be here. Thank you for your courage and sharing something as powerful and special to you as this is.
Thank you very much.
There's more in the back row. If we keep it just going clockwise, but back and forth.
It's so good to be alive.
If you could offer to the woman in front of you.
Grateful.
thank the talking stick. I did a lot of traveling over the past year to a lot of different cultures, and the group I traveled with, as a gesture towards American culture, we brought along a talking stick. And whenever we had an intense experience, we had trouble reaching out to each other, so we would form a talking stick circle and pass the stick around, and our rules were be brief, be concise, be loud, and speak the truth. Thank you for sharing your experiences with us today.
Would you make sure those behind you have a chance?
Dealing with Native American people, I was really touched by people of different cultures that have come to a belief in a great spirit, or how much that's a common belief among people on the earth. And it was interesting for me that that's an experience that a lot of people have had. And it was interesting that it came from people that were outside of my tradition, so there was sort of feeling of communion with those people.
Thank you for the instruction. I've just moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and there are many Indian tribes in the area, and it helps me to better understand their way of life. And I'm most grateful to know that through your work, you could help to bring people together. We all need to understand one another and to come together through God and Jesus Christ.
I wish to thank all those who have gone before us, who have fought long and hard battles to preserve truth and dignity and honor among them, their own people. And even as Slow Turtle, Supreme Holy Man of the Wampanoag Nation, told me once. He said, there's no such thing as a red god. It shocked me. I thought some of the Indians did think they had God in Rome. He said, neither is there such a thing as a white god, which shocked me, because I think some people almost act as if they have God in their hip pocket. He said, there's no black god, there's no yellow god. He said, there's only one. One God made all the earth. And though there are the four colors, the traditional colors we say in the old ceremonies, there's only one race, the human race. And he says, all human beings deserve respect and honor. And to say one last thing, I had an invitation to smoke a pipe by an Assiniboine man from Canada, and it was at a powwow. And the man, joking with me, knowing that I assumed knowing that I was Christian, said, "So you know, friend, I really think," now he did not say he was Christian, but he said, "I really think that if your Jesus came walking down the road there, saw us in this lodge of ours, we would wave to him, he'd come running over, join us, sit down and smoke the pipe." Now, some may find that thought offensive. I honestly, of course, don't know what Jesus would do. I don't predict that. But to understand the ways of Native spirituality, the ways of Native ceremonies and rituals, I think our Lord, in this sense, would say, this is an action that people do to be good, to be better, to be strong, to be faithful to the one that they call the one above, to the ones they say are their relatives. All of you say, Mitakwe Oipi, or Mitakwe Oipi, my relations. And they would say, this is what they do to be true to Mother Earth. And how could Jesus, the one who said, love one another, be kind to each other, honor your mother and father. Never lie, never cheat, never steal, never kill. The same thing the old people taught us. How can he disagree with that? Thank you all for coming, and especially to Holden Village for the chance for me to be here this year and to be with you. I'll have brought this from the East Coast now to the West Coast, and perhaps as I go back to New Hampshire in a few weeks, back to the East Coast, I'll tell them the West Coast people touch this. I think most of them will be happy. Say, wow, it's really traveled. And as I do, perhaps if I have a chance more in the Midwest or Southwest, I'll say, some good people I met here on the West held this. And their blessing, in a sense, remains with a stick. And their prayers, I hope, also go with a stick that you may bless others by what you have done today. So I and those who are to hold this to come, thank you for that. Then, long pause of silence so our sound technician can turn off the system. Thank you for the voice here.
Early suffering, perfect.